Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, health, wellness, and sustainability. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I am very honored and thrilled that we are joined by vegan psychologist Claire Mann. Claire Mann is a vegan psychologist and Vistopia transformation coach. She has done remarkable work for years. She's a leader in the vegan movement, and we're going to be discussing a lot of programs that she offers for vegans. Thank you very much, Claire, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much, Marlene. And listening to the profile, the philosophy of what your episodes or your whole station is about, I'm thrilled to be here. I love the words like transformation, revolution. And I know we've spoken in previous times that, you know, we are the ones we've been waiting for. And so it's delightful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And can you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes, I always smile when I'm asked this question because, as you know, the older we get, we've been around a while, the list sort of gets longer of the journey you've been on. But I'll try and do it in a little bit of a nutshell. I am indeed a vegan psychologist and also a Vistopia transformation coach, a name I really gave to myself because I was the person who created the word Vistopia, and also one of my books, Vistopia, is something that many vegans know me by. So I originally didn't start out as this, actually. I've been a psychologist for over 30 years, and I trained as an organizational psychologist back in the UK. And I worked in many organizations, big and small and medium, many organizations I definitely would not work in now, corporations. But, you know, we're all on a path, and when we know better, we do better. And the sort of work I got involved in really was training and development, graduate trainee schemes, culture change, and communication skills, mainly having the conversations that matter. And then for 9 years within that also, I was a university lecturer. And I had the great pleasure and also the hunger at the time in my younger years. I've worked in over 20 different countries in that capacity, which is kind of exciting. And it was really, oh gosh, nearly 46 years ago, Marlene, that I read a book by Bob Geldof from the Boomtown Rat. And many, the writer of the vintage, they'll remember who he was, obviously for Live Aid and the money that was raised in Africa during the famine in Ethiopia. And he talked about working in an abattoir. And I didn't see anything or hear anything of his account in Dublin. But I can still, as I'm telling you, see what was happening to the animal. And I could see their face. And it was in that instance I thought, I'm not going to be part of this at all. Now, I was brought up like a normal family with meat and two vegetables. And I stopped eating on the spot. I was 17 years old. But I didn't look any further because it was weird in those days, kind of, and people were laughed at to be vegetarian. But overnight, I became a vegetarian, I guess. And I got on with life. Luckily, and I say luckily because I now know I wasn't a baby calf, I had eczema. And so dairy came out of my diet for a good another decade and things. But it was only 16 years ago, after navigating through the world, that I was living in New Zealand with my partner, and he showed me, we came across obscene cruelty to cows and calves being taken away and pig hunting dogs. And when we came back to Australia, in his wisdom, he went and looked at a lot of the videos to say, is this just happening in New Zealand? Maybe Australia too. And he sat me down. He said, we need to watch this. And we watched all the terrible videos of the industrialized cruelty towards animals. And on the spot, we all became vegan, which is very exciting. And that was 16 years ago. Anyway, I'll fast forward. Right away, I became an activist. I went onto the streets. I emceed large events like Van Live Export rallies. I started to speak at festivals and used my skills really as an organizational trainer to speak out on this. But I called myself a vegan psychologist because people wanted to come and talk about this specific challenge. And would now be a good time, Marlene, really to define what Vistopia is?
Yes, that'd be great.
Fantastic. So I feel I'm sort of, it's very easy on the radio, of course, when we're talking for such a long time. I wonder if I should sort of take a little breath here. But I'm giving you a story. But it was really in 2000, and between about 2012 and 2016, possibly, people started to come to see me because they were vegan.
We're listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann in Australia.
But I started to get different sort of people coming to see me who were sent by, I was in private practice in Sydney at the time, and they would come and the doctor or the psychiatrist had referred them as having one of three conditions. Number one, they said they had eating disorders. Now, vegans can have eating disorders, but it's certainly not because they chose not to eat animals and the consequences of what happens to them. They said they had social adjustment disorders because they wouldn't go to Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or eat around the table when people were eating animals. And the third one, which concerned me most of all, I was getting referrals that said that these people had such low self-esteem that they were deliberately watching slaughterhouse footage and animal cruelty as a form of self-harm. It absolutely outraged me that the profession could use its power so wrongly to hoodwink people and to demonize and pathologize what is really an act of kindness, which is the vegan lifestyle. So it was at that time, and I'll fast forward quite quickly, I knew I needed a term to stand up to these institutions who continue to be very powerful. And in our world at the moment, over the last few years, we've seen this too, is our really slavish adherence to the profession, so to speak, and the notion of science, which we can look at in a moment, of course. But so I came up with the term dystopia. And very briefly, dystopia is the anguish a person feels at discovering about the institutionalized and systematized and legal abuse of animals. And when they tell people, instead of people changing immediately, they say, oh, it could never happen. The government would never allow it. This is just an example of cruelty in a particular farm. Oh, I only buy my cosmetics from ABC. All the excuses. So the poor vegan, in one sense, who discovered the extent of the ubiquitous nature of this, sees this almost trance-like collusion with a dark and dystopian world that the listener is not even knowing they're part of. And this doesn't just mean veganism, it means other things, but in the context of dystopia, that's what it is. But then the vegan says, well, if I didn't know about the nature of this, the extent and of the size of the problem, that everywhere there is animal cruelty, unless we decided to actively not be part of it, they'd say, well, what else don't I know? And then they're called a conspiracy theorist. And haven't we heard that term today? So today I focus specifically on helping vegans recover from the trauma of dystopia so that they sort of eagerly await every conversation about veganism rather than feeling it's a form of conflict. And my aim is that vegans work through that, do the inner work, the inside job, as I say, and become happy, calm, confident vegan change makers to be part of the solution of this revolution you talk about, Marlene.
Thank you, Claire. So let's hear about the upcoming free 3-day Dystopia Recovery Masterclass.
Yes, well, it's really come out of demand, actually, of vegans still struggling. Because if you're a vegan listening to this, or maybe a would-be vegan, firstly, I don't divide the world into vegan and non-vegan. Because people aren't, you know, kind or unkind, you know, cruel or not cruel. You know, we're all on a path, and the vast majority of people are good people doing bad things, actually. And I certainly, you know, I've got so much to learn. What areas am I involved in other parts of life where I could be kinder? And I like the notion of pre-vegan and pro-vegan, because most people I know will care for a human or a non-human animal. And we just have to expand that notion, that window, to see how much we've been hoodwinked and hijacked here. So I put together a free 3-day, 1 hour a day, Dystopia Recovery Masterclass. And in those lessons each day, people are going to identify where they are on the trauma cycle of their dystopia, come away with tools and techniques to create a strong foundation each day to navigate that and work through it. They're going to understand why good people do bad things, and why we have most problem with family and close people and what we can do about that. So I want people to come to that workshop to be encouraged, to be hopeful, and to go out into the world in whatever way they can to be a part of the solution to the very big problems we are facing today. So I'll quickly give you the link there. I think they're in the show notes, of course, but it's veganpsychologist.com/master-class register. But if you just go to veganpsychologist.com, there'll be a banner there and you can sign up. And I'd love to see you there in America. It starts on the 15th of July, running for 3 days. There'll be replays, so you'll be able to catch up if it's not in a good time zone for you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Claire.
You know, there's so many wonderful vegans out there doing wonderful things to help people to communicate. And really, I started to do the transformation and recovery programs because if facts alone were enough, or we could really learn to be good communicators, and we must, you know, why aren't people having the confidence, the influence that we really truly should have? Because there's no bad news about veganism at any level, spiritually, morally, physically, health-wise, economically. We just need to transition to different product lines. So why isn't that happening? And it's because to be a real effective influencer and communicator, we have to change on the inside. I know my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Will Tuttle, has spoken out so widely on this, and I really champion in his amazing book, Food Freedom. People really encourage you to come along to that. Really sees the much bigger picture of which animal cruelty and what's happening in animal testing labs is an outcome of control and abuse and oppression. And us vegans need to keep asking that third stage dystopia, what else don't I know? And if we're called a conspiracy theorist, you know, people have called me that, Marlene, but I call myself a conspiracy analyst. There are factions out there, I've seen it all through the whole of my decades of life, where the powers that shouldn't be are conspiring to deceive. They've done it with the animal things. They tell us we need to eat protein in order to be healthy, or calcium for our bones. These are all myths and lies. So what else don't we know? So anything that comes into our path, particularly in these modern times, is to ask the question, okay, that seems a little bit out there, but I value the person speaking about it, or they have a, you know, background in this, or they've researched something. What else don't I know? Vegans, try to keep an open mind, because it's very easy for us to be hoodwinked into going along with certain agendas that we were going along with before we became vegan. But there's much more to know, and that'll in the end be of great value to animals.
You're listening to Claire Meehan via Skype in Australia. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with vegan psychologist Claire Meehan. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, Massachusetts. I'm very honored and thrilled that we are joined by vegan psychologist Claire Meehan in Australia. Claire has been a leader in the vegan movement for years, and she does so much to help all the vegans in the world and to help veganize this planet, which means to create a paradigm of peace and justice for all. So thanks again, Claire, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, was it Mark Twain who said, and I may have the author wrong, there's two most important days in our lives, the day we were born and the day we realized why we were born. And I really encourage people to be part of the solution. Now, someone becomes aware, of course, of a vegan lifestyle, of which eating is only really one of the behaviors. It's a philosophy of the non-use and non-exploitation of animals. You want to be part of that, to usher that in, because I personally, you know, there's a lot of agony internally when I realize continually what's happening to animals. But that can be transmuted into powerful action for change. In fact, must be. You know, many people listening have probably watched the documentary Dominion, which was an Australian undercovering of what is really happening in factory farming and animal testing labs, hidden in plain sight. And I remember the director there, Chris Delforce, said, "What is in darkness will be brought into the light." And I think there is a much greater uncovering at this time in our history. You know, as we look around, it's very easy for us to become hopeless, to feel, gosh, people are just bad. There's such a lack of peace. There's war. There's people polarize very easily to right and left, and Trump and Biden and conservative and liberal. And really, that's just a way out of our agony of our unknowing and our uncertainty. Is what is really important is putting a strong foundation each day into ourselves through good nutrition, through rest, through meditation, and through having purpose. Because a lot of things we can't do things about in the world, but this isn't one of them. We have to ask on our own doorstep, How can we be of service, really? How can we be kind? What are we like in our words to each other as vegans? I see so much infighting and cruelty to each other, and it's coming from fear. And the powers that shouldn't be, and I say that because I've been an organizational psychologist. You know, my background is I've seen inside a lot of big organizations and governments and worked actually in legal system as well, is, you know, there is an attempt to want to control people because in the interest that the person influencing wants to believe people should go. And so people don't realize that it isn't just a few bad apples in governments or organizations. The brightest and the best psychologists and behavioral scientists are adopted by these organizations and government bodies to influence people in a certain way. And it's called nudge psychology. And it's deliberately, there are whole think tanks that if they want to get a message out to the world, they will influence. And it's often done by fear and conformity, belonging to a tribe. And that's why we've got such a large number of people eating the flesh and reproductive secretions of animals, even though it's killing them. Their diet is making people sick. It's causing enormous cruelty to animals and destroying the planet on which we live. So I encourage vegans to keep asking, what else don't I know? Don't become polarized, pro this and anti this, because that's how our power is taken away and we too will be hoodwinked. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's actually ask the question, what else don't I know? And if you hear it from a source you value, who know has been doing some amazing work over the years, and you don't immediately dismiss people, say, okay, they're a little bit out there, but I will look into this because I respect the person who is in openness trying to uncover what is happening. So let's keep asking questions and let's keep focusing on the imperative, the moral imperative, the path to a kinder, freer, more peaceful world, which is through the path of veganism.
Thank you, Claire. We've all been, like you said, hoodwinked into believing that we need to consume the flesh of victims for protein, that we can't be healthy unless we consume, inject, or ingest these products by these non-vegan institutions, the governmental institutions in collaboration with the corporations, to create division and deceive even further. The one that has been on my mind recently, the freedom movement, the human freedom movement, those who see violations of the Constitution and stripping away of human rights in all various countries even. And yet most of them are not vegan. And I see a pattern that has developed where I think maybe it's coming from the infiltration and co-option of the vegan movement, where they've created a thought that veganism is part of this agenda of control and domination, really putting down veganism, putting an incorrect focus that it's a diet. So could you ad lib on that, please?
Yes, of course. It's interesting, isn't it? I think over the last few years, there's enormous trauma enacted on people. And people are really, you know, so many people are in so much debt and they've lost their homes and they've lost family members because of the fear that was around people. Instead of coming together, it divided people. Those people perhaps that don't understand the full extent of what we call the freedom movement, that sort of rose up enormously during the last few years, where people said there's far too much overreach of government, we're moving towards digital currencies, we're having all these mandates, we're being tracked and traced everywhere. But isn't that an echo of what's happening to animals actually starting to happen to us?
We're listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll have a little musical interlude, and then we'll continue our conversation with Claire Mann. This is vegan musician Elias Clay in collaboration with Presence. Rule and Illusion.
This world is not as it seems, so truth, we know our time's come. With natural law on our side, we're standing righteous. The violation, establishment, even the people lifeless. The dark ones expose themselves, we are moving towards the light. Cause they test our patience time and time again, no remorse. We stand in the course of sovereign beings, our will God supports. We move with the power of creation, sacred life force. The spiritual war soon to be no more, and it's run its course. Cause redemption calling, calling, as deception's falling, falling. Our intentions blooming, blooming, and the people are rising, rising. As Babylon burning, burning, illusion dissolving, solving. The problem resolving, solving. The new earth evolving, loving, yeah.
The walls are coming down, and there's nothing they can do about.
There's nothing they can do.
A lot of the freedom movement, of course, talks about agorism. Now, I encourage people to have a look at that, and I'm kind of excited by that prospect of a vegan agorish world. It's largely what I'm doing now, is agorism is the principle by the original, I can't remember his first name, Konkin II. He wrote a book on the liberation. And basically, agorism is the non-initiation of violence. Well, immediately my ears pricked up, because that's the principle of veganism, of course. And non-initiation of violence means towards ourselves and towards others as well. But somehow the freedom movement has said we'll eat animals, so they're enslaved in that sort of paradigm. So people came aside, we'll have our own cryptocurrency, we'll have our own currencies, we'll grow our own food. And yet I saw that, and I championed it. I actually, you know, started to meet with a lot of people that were standing up against, and it is government overreach, there is no doubt about it. And it's only because people allow it and don't challenge, you know, what we want as a society. And what I actually found is that people were having animals in their gardens or in fear, you know, breeding guinea pigs to eat. And I said, well, hey, just a moment. If we want freedom, peace and liberation, we're taking this away from others. Marlene, you're absolutely correct. Is, you know, we are seeing this a lot. We're seeing often the freedom movement is saying that, oh, Bill Gates and all that crowd sort of thing, they want us to become vegan. So our job is to constantly, firstly, never assume that people know what vegan is, because they say, oh, yes, you're a preachy vegan. But when you say, okay, well, what do you understand by veganism? They talk about diet. So as long as we go back to a philosophy of the non-use and exploitation of animals, is the paradigm of kindness, compassion, and doing no harm, and vegan agorism, which is the non-initiation of violence, we can then have a conversation from that perspective.
We're listening to vegan psychologist Claire Mann, joining us from Australia. Tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, Massachusetts. We're listening to the music of Will Tuttle. This is The Geese Song. Now we'll continue our conversation with Claire Mann as she's discussing communication techniques.
It also, at every level, there's no bad news about veganism. So it's not that we're trying to sort of get people. I say to people, you don't have to give up anything. You just have to stop taking what was never yours. So I hope that helps and gives a little bit of insight there, Marlene, of, you know, and also for vegans who are resisting the freedom movement and saying, oh, you know, we have to go along with certain paradigms that the government is laying out in front of us. I just ask vegans, you know, it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's our own fear and anxiety that makes us polarize. But I ask the question, if we have governments and corporations that have heinously lied and hoodwinked us into believing we need to eat the flesh and reproductive secretions of animals for survival, which causes heinous cruelty, why are we going back to those very bodies and saying, heal me, I need this in order to be safe. I need to go in line and go along with this because I'll still be at the other end, then I can advocate for veganism. It is not vegan for us to abuse other people, to polarize, to minimize. Let's be vegan in our values to all living beings and the earth on which we live.
Thank you very much, Claire. Where can our listeners learn more about you and also learn more about the free 3-day Vistopia Recovery Masterclass.
Wonderful. Yes, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Masterclass is going to take place over 3 days. There'll be 1 hour per day. There is a wonderful website that you can look at to see what those 3 days entail, what you are going to emerge from at the end. I want happy, hopeful, influential vegan change makers. That workshop, the 3 day, you can see it through veganpsychologist.com/master-class-register. And this will take place on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, if you're in the US or UK. But in Australia, Eastern Time, it'll be 16th, 17th, and 18th. I really look forward to seeing you there. If you can't make the actual times, a replay will be sent out each day. And after the whole event, it'll only be up for 4 days. So I encourage you to focus on that, get tools and techniques to be an empowered vegan change maker.
And I would like to learn more a little bit about some of your education.
I studied initially in psychology. I did a science degree in understanding. I didn't go back to studies when I was 23. I'd been out in the world working for about 7 years before then until I really realized I wanted to find out what made people tick. So I did a bachelor's in general psychology and a science degree. I then did a Master of Science in Occupational Psychology at London University, learning how to go into the world of work. And for me, it was about improving the quality of working life. For the organizations, increasingly, it was how do I make more profit? And then I realized that executives behind closed doors wanted me to take them on a journey I couldn't. So I went back to train as an existential psychotherapist and counselor. So I did another MA in that subject and practiced in that capacity. But I also did postgraduate diploma in counseling in Australia. I was awarded fellowship, invited to be a fellow of the Human Resources Institute for books I've written in that area in my past. And also I'm a fellow of the British Psychological Society. Fellow sounds very grown up, doesn't it? It just means that you've contributed to research and usually written books on the topic. I just love books and they've been great teachers to me. So I guess that I'm part of the Australian Psychological Society. Now, these are professional bodies. I encourage them greatly to ask more questions, encourage professionals truly to continue to develop, and encourage people to take ownership and responsibility. We rely so much these days, Marlene, on the professional. And we hear words like the science is settled. As someone with two science degrees, the science is never settled. It's a vigorously debated topic. And that really is part of nudge psychology, to stop people asking questions, to move in a certain area. So keep an open mind. What an exciting adventure we're on at this time in our history to create a greater world for animals and people on the earth on which we live.
Thank you very much, Claire Meehan. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. This is Marlena Massachusetts wishing you a beautiful, pleasant day.